The G-Men podcast brings you inside our community and lets you listen in on the conversations that empower men to win in life and business.
Sometimes we can't wait for people to come to us. We got to go to them. Let's go. As a man, you gotta have critical thinking in a time of crisis. Be conscious of who you are connecting. Any crisis, you got what? The brotherhood. G-Man! G-Man!
And so we constantly have to teach him actively. And I'm big on awareness. I'm big on critical thinking because that's how I grew up. We have to process with him kind of what Alfred was just saying at 14 or even at 8, how to develop these muscles. And so I thought about this call particularly because not just, you know, how are you developing those muscles personally? How are you developing the muscles in the critical thinking as it pertains to the people in your life, but even, you know, personally, but the young men particularly, how are we modeling? Right, Kendall talks a ton about how do we become that model. And so our conversations are consistently about, okay, what were you thinking in this moment, right? What was the thought? What was the feeling? What was the reaction? It don't matter if it was, I'm nervous, whatever it is, right? What was that initial response? And it'll come up in certain situations, but we're consistently going, okay, what was your thought? What were you doing? And then processing that to, okay, what do you know, right? What do you know is present? Because I think a lot of us assume, whether it's the, you know, you've been a Black man for 52 years or, you know, you live in a certain state, like there's certain things that we should know, but our behaviors don't always respond that way because you're human, because you get nervous, because you get excited. But how are we modeling those situations, whether it is how to handle money, how to talk to women, how to be financially responsible, how to carry yourself, how to build character? Because if we don't, and I tell them all the time, my job as your stepfather, as your dad, whatever you want to, as Jesse is what they call me, is to give you the tips and tools to be successful. And I don't take that lightly. And so I will work through those conversations, which can become frustrating because at 14, I feel like you should know this. But my job and our job as men to be the model is to consistently come back to those conversations. And the only way I can come back to those conversations is I keep working on myself. And so I appreciate how Kendall consistently models, here's what I'm working on. How Alfred consistently models, here's how many, you know, miles and how the health and dropping these gym, you know, and we all do it. But the question I consistently ask myself, even in these situations with Dante Wright, what model did he see? Because there is a model of something that he decided, you know, that made him nervous. And I'm not saying the police were right. What I am saying is that no matter what the situation is, we still have a responsibility to keep modeling, even though we know the system is messed up. Because I don't really dive into that narrative of everything where people go into, you know, defund the police, whatever. We can talk all day about that. We still have responsibility as men to set the standard, to teach character, and to model what it means to figure out how to live this life as a Black man, because we know people who are successful.
I want to how does this make you feel? Like on the inside, we talking about Dante Wright, or is it Rice?
Wright, you go.
Wright, yeah. And I also saw on CNN last night, a black military man got pulled over somewhere in Virginia. He dropped a video and police pepper sprayed and verbally abused him. He literally didn't do anything. But how is this affecting us mentally and emotionally? I think, Ross, everything you said, what's so good about it is, like, that is a powerful reason to continue therapy. Because sometimes in therapy is the only time you get an opportunity to communicate, to say things that you wouldn't normally say, to let out emotions and feelings that you wouldn't normally let out. And I don't think we get an opportunity to do enough of that, to just be free mentally and emotionally, to share how we really feel, to learn how to share how we really feel, to express ourselves. But I really would like to know how everybody feels about all of it. I mean, we revisit this and we revisit this every so many months. There's always a new case. There's always been a new case before Rodney King. There's always been something, and no politician has done too much about it. Nobody else has, quote unquote, saved us from this. And over a period of time, like when I felt the way I felt yesterday after I read it, it just disturbed me in a way that the same way that the great George Floyd thing did. I'm talking about a feeling inside the pit of my stomach, like just completely like empty, hurt, emotionally stressed. Like, yo, this is like we really getting out of hand. We're going backwards in time. The new law that Kemp dropped in Georgia, the voting rights changed to the voting laws. It's just like it takes a toll on you mentally, emotionally, which can ultimately take a toll on you physically. But I really would like to know, like, how are you feeling emotionally, mentally, as these things continue to happen? Be open.
Yeah, man. Ever since this stuff really started pouring over into our young men, with Trayvon and everything else. My son is 19. Honestly, bro, devastated, honestly, to a certain degree. And I consider myself to be somebody who knows how to handle themselves when the cops come. But, that cop is having a bad day. I'm laughing facetiously. I could end up having a bad day, too. And, kind of makes you kind of look at, make sure all your stuff is in the car and all your lights are working. And, because again, the brother that was in the military, they didn't even see his temporary tag. And, the whole thing with, I've always said, ever since, the guys are getting younger and younger, it doesn't really matter. I said, man, my son don't bother nobody. I said, and the thing is, he could do everything that the cops are asking and potentially lose his life. So, I'm scared as hell, bro, for my son,
Yeah. Who else? How are you feeling on the inside?
Yeah, it's hit me different because, I got three sons and so my wife, she always has sleepless nights. And then especially when she sees something like this, and it's almost all the time you see it in the paper, but you know, I talk to them as much as possible, but it's how they carry themselves. Again, with my sons, it's different because the youngest had dreads, and all of my sons smoke. All of them got guns, and they got a short temperament. I mean, they old enough to, you know, purchase them, so you can't tell them not to. But I talk to them as much as possible about what to do, but they, like I said, with they temperament, I just really wouldn't know what they would do if something like that would happen. And then, like with me, I've been there in college. I was pulled over before, and I'm in Montgomery, Alabama, and the police asked, you know, you got a gun? And I'm like, yeah, and I always had my license. And in that instant, the officer asked me to hand it to him. And I was like, tooted my hip up to him and told him, no, you can get it, but this stuff like that, you know, it's almost like, really want me to give him this gun. And just yesterday, I got my pistol permit back because it had expired, and through the COVID, you had to wait. But that was the thing that's so crazy and how we have to think. Like, I've been robbed before, so I stay on the lookout and watching around me to protect me and my family to see what's going on. And I was so excited to get my pistol permit back. But it's to protect me from our people because these young cats robbing so much. And it's like we was talking about earlier, the PTSD is I got to watch out for the police. I got to watch out for my people. And it's almost like you just always got to stay on guard. And it's you know, it's just a sad time we're living in.
Yeah. Kanata, you about to jump in?
Yeah, it's just the realization. Because now AT got me thinking about what he was saying as well. But what I was going to say before that was, it's just the realization that all of this stuff was going on even before what this generation and what my generation was going through. Because I remember being, I'm 43, just turned 43 last week. I remember being 19 to 20 years old. I didn't have a fear of the police that they have now. And I understand it's more accurate now and it's more widespread. And maybe I should have been more aware of it. But, you know, I was 18 years old in Orlando, Florida at the time. I didn't have the fear of the police. My fear of the police was, don't make my damn car or my auto insurance go up any higher. You know what I mean? But Now it's like when I get pulled over, it's different, you know, and this is me as a grown man. So I can't imagine. I put myself in their shoes, what this generation, like AT said, what your sons are going through, right? And it's like, it's not fair, it's not accurate, but it's what the realization of where we are in the world right now. And how do we combat that evenly or even fairly? You know what I mean? We can protest and we do, and we can say, hey, we want these laws changed. But in those moments, when we have nobody else around us and our biggest defense right now, this is what bothers me. No one believes black men unless it's on video. No one believes black people unless it's on video. How do we get to that point in this world to where what we've been saying for the last 80 to 100 years of how we get treated by police has been disregarded unless it's on video? And that's the question I haven't figured out yet.
Well, hell, even if it's on video, it's still disregarded.
Exactly. That too.
How are you feeling? What's going through your mind?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I just say, just be honest, pissed, you know. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Cause it's like, this is another one, you know, how many do we have to add up, you know, and how many are still going to have to face this because of number one of your mindset. You know, we talk about, you know, getting into those, you know, those situations where, you know, they feel, you know, the police feel threatened, you know, it doesn't help, you know, when the person resists, but even if they do resist, what's your training? You know, and I know that we talk a lot about, you know, coming back to what's the most familiar to you. You know, so my thought is just like, what's in the cop's mind? How do you feel about black people in the first place? I believe that plays a part, you know, and then you have the training, you know, or so-called training, you know, that you go through, but then what do you do in that split second? You know, how many of those split second decisions do you really train for? You know, but then, you know, even if you do train for it, what happens when it really happens? You know what I mean? So, but all that to say is, like, it's another one. You know, I have a son, he's 21, getting ready to turn 22 this year. And I feel fear for him. You know, he's trying to get his license together, told him we'll pay for it, you know, stuff like that. But he's right now driving, you know, sometimes on the suspended license, you know. So I'm just like, Lord Jesus, get this stuff together. You know, we talked to you till you blew in the face and you still just want to be out here, you know. So it's like, Lord, I pray for him constantly, you know, that, you know, God just cover him, you know, and that he make better decisions, you know. But yeah, just anger, really, to see this. And, you know, like others said, yeah, we want the laws to change, we protest, but it's like, it's a constant cycle. You know, they do something, we protest, you know, and then nothing happens afterwards. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. You know, so I don't know how to change it, but I'm hoping that it, I'm hopeful to some extent, not really, but I'm hopeful to some extent that something will change, because it got to change. It has to change.
Do one or two more before we close up.
I had a quick question on what he just said. And having a son that's 21, and you say you're helping him to get his license back together and it's suspended, is that helping or hurting him?
Yeah, Alfred. So this is what happened initially. Initially, we said, you know, when he first got the ticket in the first place, before he even went to that, we were like, you know, hey, you need to take care of this, you know. So we put it on him, like, you need to take care of this. You know, he like, okay, I'm gonna take care of it. You know, like, okay. And kept asking, like, okay, did you take care of it? Evidently you didn't, because we still getting stuff. You know, so long story short, come the mail, he is suspended. Well, he got he got a 1 year old and got one on the way. You know, so we like, okay, listen, just so you can are together, we will offer to help you. We're not, you got to pay us back though. So I think it's a help, but it's really saying you got to pay us back though. Just so, like I said, in a situation like this, we don't want nothing to happen to you where it go further. You get a car taken or something else like that, but you got to pay us back.
No, the reason I asked, I've been to the situation and I put it back on him, you know, same kid. You know, he had a kid, same type of situation, but I didn't pay it. And it ain't the wrong or right answer, but I'm saying, like, going as these kids go older, like when we came up, we had to take care of our stuff. And now we help, I mean, hurting them by taking care of their situations, because I didn't pay bonds, I didn't pay and got stuff done for them. And I think it's almost like crippling them, because they know we got them. And that's why I asked the question. It wasn't like a right or wrong answer, but it's just like, are we helping them or are we hurting them? Because they don't know how to go through a situation because they folks always got them. That's why I asked.
All right, we'll do one more before we check out.
Hey, Coach, I'll jump in there. With everything going on, I'm pissed off, I'm afraid, I'm nervous, confused. And the thing is, crazy thing is, I didn't even know how pissed off I was until my wife brought it to my attention. You've been negative and aggressive a lot lately. I'm like, for real? And I don't think it helped that I watched the show Them on Amazon. Kind of added to it. But I don't like ignorance. And before my son was born, like when my wife was pregnant with my son, I had a dream where he had asked me about racism and, you know, what to do. And in that moment, you know, I realized I had to teach him about it. I had to lead him and tell, you know, teach him what to do, how to be a Black man in this world. And for me, it was scary because even though I am a Black man in this world, to be honest about my upbringing, I was pretty sheltered and a little privileged. My father was a police officer. So, you know, he was a known police officer in the town. So for the most part, cops knew me. Any situations I was in, you know, I kind of got a free pass because either the cops knew me or my dad would show up and he's a cop and they kind of give him a favor. So I would get a pass. But so when it comes to actually being out there and not having those kind of privileges, like not being sheltered, it's like, what do I tell them? What do I teach them? You know, I can teach them what I know, but as you see, you know, even if you put your hands out the car, even if you complying, even if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you can still get shot. You still end up in jail. You can still get, you know, done wrong. And so, you know, my son is, he's three, he'll be four this year. And, you know, he models what he sees. And that aggression, you know, shows up in him. And so I'm a little hard on him about his responses. And I question myself sometimes, like, okay, Julius, he's only three, he'll be four this year. Are you being too hard? Like, are you gonna rob him from his childhood? You know, you're gonna rob his childhood. It's like, to be honest, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I've been talking to my uncles a little bit more lately, but I'm just pissed off, scared, and I'm nervous, confused. I don't know what to do as far as raising him in this world.
Yeah. I want to challenge all of us again, including myself, to, if you don't, go seek out and find a therapist that you can share, converse. It's very important because the same way in our core four, we talk about mindset, health set, mental health, of course, is included in that. But when we don't let things out the way we feel, we never learn how to express our emotions and stuff gets suppressed. And as Ross said, it comes out and it shows later on in life in different ways. And just like Julia said, where his wife noticed that he has been angry and aggressive recently, probably because of all of these stuff that he's been putting in. All of us, like we do it. We watch the news, we watch these movies that piss us off. And I've been watching and seeing this stuff for a long time. Like a long time. And it is very emotionally draining, mentally draining. And it has an effect on you. It has an effect on the way you father, the way you husband, the way you man. And we have to make sure that we are working on ourselves emotionally and mentally. Practicing communication, practicing releasing those emotions, and then sharing that with the young men or the other men that are around us. In a lot of cases, at certain levels, there's nothing that we can do at certain levels. But the most important thing is to do what we can do, to focus on what we can do. It starts with self. It starts with what are we modeling in our own homes, in our own communities, in our own families? And then what are we modeling for ourselves? Like, you definitely want to watch the news and be informed, but you can't OD on news because it is affecting. It has an effect. Watching those, I didn't watch the body cam footage. There's certain movies I won't watch because I've seen it before. It has an effect. you do want to stay informed. So it's, you got to find that line where you're staying informed of the current events that are going on, but you don't become addicted. Is that word again? You don't become addicted to watching trauma and drama coming across the screen, phone screen, television screen. You got to release. You have to release it. You got to let it out. The anger, because I feel angry. I feel mad, hurt, depressed, stressed. I want to get violent, like things like that. At some point, like, and we don't know how it's coming out, but people around us that love us can see the change in us. Our sons or the young people, young men that we're around, they may see something in us that we don't see because of the effects of the trauma. So again, like therapy, find a therapist to communicate with, pick up the phone and call another brother and have the conversation. But you can't keep it in the feelings. I'm not talking about only the surface conversation about it. I'm talking about going deep and really sharing how you feel. Sometimes just go sit in the corner, man, and just cry. I do it. I promise you. And just cry and let it out. Since when you think about all of the stuff that that's happening on the outside of us with the police killings, the homicides, the, you know, all of that stuff. But then you also got stuff going on the inside, working to provide for yourself and your family, constantly on this quote unquote grind. There's just a lot of moving parts in your life. And if you're not taking care of self-care, that's the first relationship. If you're not physically taking care of yourself, mentally taking care of yourself, having the conversations, it will have its effect on you and take a toll on you. It'll start causing negative things to come out of your mouth. You'll start displaying negative activity. It helps to fuel addictions in other areas. And so make sure that you take care of you. Get the therapist back. Find a new one if you need to. Have a conversation with a brother and learn how to share the way you feel. Y'all have a great grind day. We'll talk soon.
You have been listening to the G-Men podcast. Like, review, and share this episode if something you heard challenged you to grow and positioned you to lead.